Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefty's Refuge. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's sticking with me throughout my podcast episodes. I've noticed that they're not being listened to as much, which is fine because people are allowed to listen to what they want to listen to. But I just wanted to explain, between a chronic illness, two jobs, and all of the buildings around me having the cladding removed, I'm basically unable to record podcasts as much as I want to. So I just wanted to say thank you for listening and sticking with me. If you do have anything that you want me to speak about, feel free to reach out on social media. I'm no longer using Twitter because Elon Musk is a cisgender Nancy boy. But if you do have me on any forms of social media and you want to reach out and ask me to speak about things, feel free. I would love to hear from people because I do like to speak to people who also are interested in the madness of British politics. Thanks very much. Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefty's Refuge. Today is all about something I understand very little about, the economy, but I want to talk about it because of Rachel Reeves's little appearance on LBC recently, because I have some concerns, as I'm sure you already know. I think I've made it pretty clear in my blog, in my videos, in the things I've written, and just in things that I've said in person if you've met me, that I have deep and abiding concerns with this iteration of Labour. And I understand people's rebuttals to the things that I say, but I also think that I'm saying things that people never really seem to address and kind of get to the nut of. And Rachel Reeves's appearance is a perfect underscoring of this. But before I talk about that, I want to take you back to exactly 12 months ago, because 12 months ago now, Liz Truss was in charge of the country. I'm sure we all remember this period of time. Not the least because she kept wearing that fucking god-awful dress that was also worn by a fascist dictator in a TV show. So, you know, I mean, fashion choices, babes. More troublingly than Liz Truss's weird choker that she keeps wearing, that I'm pretty sure is a slave collar, is the fact that she kept touting this new thing, this newfangled way of doing things, Trussonomics. Now, if you want a fool's version of Trussonomics, it was basically, what I want to do is top load the richest people in the country with so much money by cutting the top rate of tax that they have no choice but to invest this money into projects, to create new businesses, to spend massively, and that will stimulate the economy. Because we all know when you give people who are already rich loads of money, what they're going to do is spend it and not just offshore it somewhere so they've got it for a rainy day. We all know that's what they do. They don't take money out of circulation. Rich people benefit the economy massively, obviously. Anyone who has fallen past a book about economics in a library will understand that trickle-down economics is a fairy tale, and not even a good fairy tale. Chief amongst the phrases that Liz Truss used to repeat ad nauseam when she was talking about the economy was,
I want to grow the size of the pie.
And what Liz Truss meant by this in her childish, idiotic way was that she wanted to grow the economy. Now, I absolutely, for a long time, have hated it whenever any politician comes onto the news or comes onto an interview or whatever and says stuff like, we want to grow the economy, because it's like me as a compliance manager going to work and going, I'm going to do some compliance today. Of course you want to grow the economy. That's literally your like raison d'etre or whatever. Like, that is literally what you are meant to do. The reason that I wanted to just give you this little refresher, because I'm sure we all remember what happened with Trussonomics, is that Reeves borrows some troubling lines from it. She keeps saying the adult version of what Liz Truss was saying. I want to grow the pie. I want to grow the size of the economy. That's exactly what she said on LBC. One thing I do want to say immediately is I have no issue whatsoever with the fact that Reeves and no one from Labour is really talking about taxing the rich, because doing that before they win an election, that is something I understand. You don't want to be like, hey, like, we want people to vote for us, so to do that, we are going to tax these really influential people who can control you by publishing things in the media. So thinking about it broadly, I don't mind that they aren't mentioning that they're going to do any kind of wealth tax. I don't need them to do that right now. I would hope that they will do it when they're in power. I will keep my fingers crossed. The concern for me is when you talk about just growing the economy and saying that that's a way to get people out of poverty and unequal situations, I laugh at you. Like, I throw my head back and laugh because it's nonsense. Saying that growing the economy will just magically fix people's unequal situations is garbage. What we need to hear is not, we want to grow the economy because that is the most obvious statement that's ever been uttered. What we need to hear is, once you've grown the economy, what will you do? And that is the meat of what I need to hear, and that's exactly what we never hear. One of my enduring problems with Labour at the moment is that they've fallen into the same trap as the Conservatives, which is sloganisation. I absolutely hate when people say things like, we want to grow the economy, or when they say something that Starmer says quite a lot, which really bothers me, which is, we're going to use technology to fix what money can't, when he talks about the NHS. My question to Keir Starmer when he says things like that are, What are you going to pay for that technology with, Keir? Claps. Words like this are useless to people who are invested in hearing about politics. Now, I don't know why other people don't think more critically about the verbiage of our politicians, but when a politician says, I'm going to fix stuff with tech instead of money, I immediately think, what are you going to pay for the technology with? The problem with the NHS is systemic underfunding, and it absolutely does need reform. I've explained myriad times. I used to work in the NHS. I still do stuff with the NHS. And one of the systemic problems is that there are too many people who are in there managing managers and managing managers' managers. In my old job, I used to have my manager who was in my office, and down the hall we had our assistant manager, and then down the hall from her we had the manager of the department. Then further down the hall we had manager of another department who my manager's manager used to manage. And then in the office above and slightly to the left of us we used to have my manager's 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 manager who used to come down and tell us what to do. I know that people are very precious about the NHS. There's absolutely things that we can do and should do to fix it. Some of that is going to include removing jobs which are frankly unnecessary from the NHS. It is going to take a lot of work. It's going to make people uncomfortable, but it's something that we absolutely need to do. This is the kind of stuff that I want to be hearing from Labour. I know that it's going to be uncomfortable for people to hear, because hearing that you might get reformed out of a job is bad. But if your job is contributing to the NHS struggling and flailing and not knowing what to do and being directionless and just being managed instead of actually doing anything, that's something that we need to talk realistically about. If someone had have turned around to me and said, hey, band 3 medical staffing assistant, your job is a massive drain on the NHS, I would have been like, can't really be surprised if it ends up going, I better start looking for something else then, wouldn't I? Going back to my point though, the frustration is that what I'm not hearing is the substance, is the meat. You can say that you're going to fix the NHS with tech. I want to know how you're going to pay for the tech and what that technology is. When you say, I want to grow the economy, I say, duh, what are you going to do once you've grown the economy? And how are you going to grow the economy? Like, what are the steps that you will take to grow the economy? I do want to know that. I just don't need to hear that you're going to grow the economy, because it's a reductive point. I want to hear from the probably incumbent Chancellor what she's going to do to tackle things like core inflation. One of the things that Reeves mentioned in that interview that she did was, we are going to implement the abolishment of non-dom tax status, which is good. And from what I can see from a couple of figures I looked at last night, it'll save us about $3.2 billion, which is brilliant. The question is, what are you going to do with that $3.2 billion? One of the things that deeply frustrates me is that we're not hearing any clear motions on capital gains. There are a lot of people in this country who literally subsist off of capital gains. They don't work, they don't contribute to the economy, they sell the shit they've already got, and they live off of the capital gains. And that capital gains tax is nothing. And I really want to see broad reform. Reeves said that she wants to tax rich people's salaries as salaries instead of capital gains. That is actually decent, because taxing people with a salary instead of as capital gains means that we'll actually get more money from them. But how much? How much money will that raise? What are you going to do with it? It's been a really frustrating, 6 weeks, because it's about 6-7 weeks ago now that I put out a video where I said, I just can't vote for Labour whilst they're being transphobic. And I got so much bite back from people, and so many snobby little messages from people saying things like, it's privilege to vote with your conscience. I can't believe that people actually say that. First of all, I made a video the other day where I said, can we stop weaponizing the word privilege? And I don't mean that in the right-wing way of I'm not privileged. You can't accuse me of having privilege. I know as a white cis gay guy that I have a lot of privilege. I know as a guy that earns a decent salary that I have privilege in that sense as well. What I mean is, you can't write off what people say as irrelevant by using the word privilege. And it happened so many times after I said that. It's not privilege to want to vote for a political party that's good. Privilege is turning around to people and saying, you have to vote the way I want. because that's just what I say. And if you don't do it, then you're bad. That's privilege. Forcing someone to do what you want because it will satisfy you. The main thing that I just quickly need to get out of the way is I absolutely want the Conservatives to go. They are terrible. They are corrupt. They are inept. They have no plan for the country whatsoever. They are bad. The concern for me is, though, if we are replacing them with another government that's just going to do conservatism, which does seem to be Labour's angle on a lot of things. There was a very interesting article that came out recently in the Financial Times. A right winger actually agreed with the fact that Keir Starmer is increasingly right wing on policy. And I'll give you a list of the policy that this guy brought up. Bear with me. Here we are. Robert Shrimsley. Starmer won't give the Tories an opportunity. That's their opportunity. Financial Times, 9th of August. On Brexit, immigration, tax, China, regional policy, trans rights, even to a degree on net zero, Labour is on conservative ground. If you look at a lot of the policy that's coming out of Labour, it's perceivably right-wing. Now, a lot of people will say, well, they just need to do what they need to do to get in power, can't affect change until you're in power. That's fine. But what I need people to just really get into your head, when you say this to me, what I'm hearing is you don't believe what they're saying about the policy that they're going to do when they get in. And you're hoping that they're going to do something different. I understand that. I get it. I don't agree. I have to go off of what I'm being told. I am told all the time by these politicians that they're super honest, so I take them at their word. I cannot sneak into Labour HQ and learn their game plan. I don't know if there's a game plan. All I know is if they are telling me they're going to do right-wing stuff, I see it as right-wing. I hear they're going to do right-wing things. That brings me concern. For people who say, we can't judge them until they're in power, I get that. And that does make sense to an extent. However, there are things that they could offer now outside of power that would please us and that wouldn't meaningfully negatively impact their polling figures that would be good when they get in. I'm going off of the words that are coming out of people's mouths. When they say, we're going to do this right-wing policy, I go, I don't like conservatism and that's bad, so you shouldn't do it. And I get critiqued for saying this by people who have the best intentions because they want the Tories gone and they want better politics, but they're endorsing almost the same politics in order to see the Conservatives go, and that's what confuses me. My concern with Labour's fiscal policy is that it very closely ties itself with the current Conservative rhetoric, and in fact, actually very closely ties itself with David Cameron's Conservative rhetoric when it comes to fiscal policy. And the problem that I have with that is we have seen where it goes. I've said this recently. We've seen where that path leads us. And so I'm concerned and I want us to get off of that path. I don't think it's illogical or problematic for me to bring this up. I don't think that it's bad for me to be calling Labour out on these things and saying, why are you not offering broad departure from conservative fiscal policy? Because we've seen it doesn't work. My concern is that people will endorse conservative fiscal policy because they want to see the back of the Conservatives. And that doesn't work. It really drives me crazy. One of the things I got told off the record by a friend was that someone had accused me of footballifying politics and that they were saying that I just wasn't backing the team because they weren't saying what I wanted. And it's like, I don't know if you've ever watched football and seen how people operate with football teams, but what you do is the football team says or does something bad or plays badly, but you still endorse them. That's not what I'm doing. They're doing badly. So I'm saying, hey, please do better. It's a very difficult situation to thread because I understand people's rhetoric when they say, you know, like Labour needs to do this to win, Labour can't say these things because it'll put people off and blah, blah, blah. But to me, it's a really ham-fisted way of playing because it's just this constant appeal to people that will absolutely abandon them the second they start doing things that they don't like. Whereas people that have been with the party for a long time and have actually just kind of given up on the party just don't feel like we've got somewhere to sit. And I understand that politics isn't perfect and all of those things. I understand that if they push for a change from FPTP, that's good. All of these things I completely get. But it doesn't mean that I don't lodge these complaints. It doesn't mean I don't have them. It just means that it's frustrating when I lodge them and I'm told to shut up. You know, it does happen a lot. The stuff that we need to be hearing is, where are you going to get the money from? What are you going to do with the money? And how is that going to improve our lives? That's the stuff that we should be hearing at this point. We know that we are not far off from a general election. And we need to know what our path out of this nightmare is. Because we are in a nightmare scenario at the moment. The way that this country has been fiscally driven into the ground, the way that our economy has been leashed up, is appalling. There are sensible ways and means that we can do things that aren't being offered. Let's be honest, the vast swathes of the nation now want to rejoin the EU. That's not going to happen for decades. I don't even think that I'm going to see it while I'm alive. But at the same time, why are we not talking about easy ways to interact with the European market? Why are we not talking about changes to that? Because we absolutely need to do that so that we can bolster our economy and then have more money. We can see a faster recovery. I'm so tired of hearing Rishi Sunak say we are the fastest recovering economy in the G7. When your figures sink so low, there is no way but to go but up, and quickly, Mr. Sunak. Like, it's not because of your fiscal genius. And the concern I have is that we are going to continue to hear these sound bites from people who are trying to closely mirror conservative rhetoric, which leashes them in terms of what they'll do for economic recovery. I'm so tired of it. We need a change, you know? And one of the things I'm trying to do is learn more about how this stuff works, the nuts and bolts of it, and alternatives to conservative policy, because I want to be able to offer you guys that, an actual solution. In terms of that, there's a creator that I really like called No Justice who actually talks about policy. Her content is amazing. You can see her on YouTube, you can see her on TikTok, she's everywhere. And she's absolutely cracking. I want to be like that. I want to be able to tell you about the exact alternatives that we could be being offered, that we could be talking about. I am not at that level yet. I do know some stuff. I'm not brave enough to talk about it because I'm afraid that I'll absolutely drop a clanger. But ultimately, what I can tell you is conservative policy, not good. We have to not be offered conservative policy anymore because it's not going to get us out of the mess that we're in. The mess that we're in was caused by conservatism. So when people offer us more conservatism as an antidote to conservatism, it's like throwing poison on top of poison. It doesn't work. But the main thing that I want to talk about is I completely understand the valid points that people that want to support this iteration of Labour no matter what have. There are some legitimate points about why you should just uncritically back any alternative to the Tories who are becoming increasingly authoritarian, increasingly unhinged, and aren't helping the nation. But that doesn't mean that we can just wholly uncritically support them in every single aspect. There are reasons and means why people like me and why other people are bringing up these well-founded complaints with Labour's current iteration. And the fact that we don't get listened to, or we get written off, or we get told that we've got student politics, or we get told we're ignorant, or that things won't work, or that people just flatly don't want to listen to us, or the Tory enablers, or whatever else it is that happens. The reason is because underneath all of that abject sneering I'm better than you-ism that a lot of people do have, and you will have to take ownership of that, is that they're afraid we might have a semblance of a point. And unfortunately, I'm here to tell you that we do. I am concerned that Reeves's financial plans, that Streeting's NHS plans, aren't going to get us out of the mess that we're in. And it's okay for me to say that. I'm not saying don't elect Labour, I'm saying elect a Labour that's going to do the stuff that we need. And I just don't see that happening right now. And I'm raising that as a concern because I want better politics for us all. And the only way that you get better politics is by telling the people who are in it that they aren't doing a good enough job. So this is me telling you, people of Labour, you aren't offering enough. You aren't being brave enough, bold enough. You aren't being honest with us about what you can do to get us away from this conservative nightmare that we're in. And in fact, in some areas, you are offering a continuation of conservative policy that is only going to lead to worse situations down the road. I am tired of sticking plaster politics. I am tired of rhetoric. I'm tired of nonsense. I want some fact. I want some answers. I want to understand how this country is going to function after we get the Tories out of power. Labour looks to be the incumbent government, so I'm asking them questions about what they're going to do when they're in power, and there is nothing wrong with doing that. To me, the only people that are problematic are the people who refuse to ask the questions of a political party who is a hair's breadth from power and who is offering us a continuation of a failing state. That's who I think is problematic. When it comes to my queries, I'm sorry if it is irritating to see people questioning Labour when you are so desperate to get the Conservatives out. The reason that I'm doing it is because I'm worried that their policies are not going to help us after. And if that's a problem for you, that's a problem that you need to unpack yourself, because all I want is better politics. And if the rest of you want to settle for conservatism, then that's a choice that you can make. But I think it's the wrong one. Thanks for tuning in to Politically Enraged, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do have any suggestions for any future topics, feel free to reach out to me. And if I'm interested, then maybe we'll discuss. I hope that you enjoyed and learned something. And remember, stay politically enraged and get politically engaged. Thanks.